Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. This will be a foundational piece of direction and charge from the Lord that we stand upon for this time together through these few weeks. And I'm excited what God is going to do, not just throughout these few weeks together, but right now. I know that right now God has a word for you. And so I want to preach to you today on the subject, prepared for action. Prepared for action. Amen. I believe that God is the God of action, and His church is the church of action. And I've preached it countless times here, and others have preached it countless times here, but this is a church of demonstration and power. We don't just come and hear. We don't just come and watch. We don't just come and listen. We come to experience the power, the demonstration, and the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's how you do it right there, by clapping your hands and lifting up your voice with a shout of triumph. And you can lift up your hands in the presence of the Lord and say, God, I surrender of myself. I die out to myself. I deny myself, Lord, that I can obtain your goodness and your grace and your love and your mercy. I want more of you. Is there anybody that wants a move of God in your life right now? Would somebody just shout Jesus? Amen. In Jesus' name, you may be seated together in the presence of the Lord. Amen. 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 Prepared for action. And I preach to you today, not acting like I don't know the heartbeat of this church. And I've told you many times that we are so thankful that we get to preach at this church. We preach at this church more than any other church we've ever preached in. And so there's some churches I kind of go into and I'm like feeling it out, you know, and trying to figure out if they like me, which isn't very often, and if I like them, which also sometimes isn't as often, but as I'd like it to be. No, I'm kidding. But we're trying to feel it out, and where's the vision, and where's the heartbeat of this church, and where's the direction, where is the burden of this church, you know? And because there's a lot of things going on in our world, and not just bad things, but there's a lot of things that go on in our society today. Today's life is not as simple as it used to be, amen. And there's a lot of distractions, some of them being good, some of them being moral things, but there's just a lot of things on our plate today. It's very difficult to find somebody today that doesn't have a lot going on in their life. And so because of the times that we are living in, there's a lot of different focuses that I find throughout our churches. But what I love about the Portland Pentecostals is, yes, while we prioritize certain things, we do have a vision of the harvest, and we have a vision for revival, and we have a vision for a demonstration of God. We have a vision for souls. We have a vision for outreach, for reaching out to others. And so I'm so thankful to be able to spend an extended amount of time here, because we share that same burden and that same vision. And I've shared, and so I may reiterate some things, and that's just how it goes. There's only so much really I could say and so much to be said. But since January of 2020. It's hard to believe we're now in March of 2022. It's just hard to even fathom that now we're here in the month of March of 2022, and we are steaming ahead already in the first quarter of this year. It's hard to believe how fast time is going. But it was 2 years ago and 2 months ago that God began to change inside of me my burden and my spirit, my focus, my vision. From just being, I guess, the burden of ministry, I've always had the burden for at least the last 10 years. This September In this September of 2022 will be 10 years that I have been traveling full-time as an evangelist. And so for most of those years, you know, I was trying to figure it out and trying to figure out where God was going to take us. And I was trying to figure out how to be effective in the pulpit, so to speak. But 2 years ago, the Lord began to change my perspective and began to put this unquenchable fire inside of me. Like Jeremiah said, fire shut up in my bones, that I began to see beyond just the pulpit and see beyond just the four walls of the church and the building. And I began to realize that this thing is much bigger than this, that the vision and the burden of God is much bigger than this. And that the only way really to grow yourself is to reach for someone else. And the only way to really see the heartbeat and demonstration of God's power is to tap into the things that pleases God. And I know one thing for sure, that God is not a stagnant God. He is not a still God. In fact, you find his movement in the very first verse of your Bible. The Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then it says, in the Spirit of God moved. It moved upon the face of the waters. In the very first verse of your Bible, we are introduced with a devastation. We're introduced with a discouraging situation. We're introduced with something that is scattered. There's confusion. There's something terrible that's going on. And there's darkness. There's emptiness. It's void. And God says, I know how to take care of that. I'm a moving God. And where my spirit moves, there is opportunity. Where my spirit moves, there's always hope. The diagnosis might not be in your favor, but when the spirit begins to move in your body, there's still hope. Your marriage might be falling apart, but when the spirit begins to move in your home, there's one more hope. There's one more thing that God could say, that God could do to bring it all back together. God is a moving God. You read throughout the Bible that he was a God of action, that he was a God of movement. He was never still. He was never silent. He was never stagnant. In fact, I guess you could say there was a time in humanity's perspective that God became silent, and that's between the Old Testament and the New Testament, when for 400 years God went silent. But that's because he could not find a people that would move with him. They would move with him for a season and then get distracted by idols. They'd move with them for a season and then get distracted by idols. And after being distracted by idols, they would see the destruction of idols and then go back to God and move with them for a season and then go back to idols. Got quiet right there. Because that's how I live. Can I have a witness? It's like I have seasons, these ebbs and flows, these ups and these downs, these seasons where it's like I'm all in. God, whatever you want, wherever you go, I'll do it. And then I get distracted by idols. I don't get distracted by golden calves. I don't get distracted by golden images, by graven images. I get distracted by other types of idols that take my time and attention and focus away from the things of God. Can I get an amen in the house? I get distracted by idols, and next thing you know, I see the darkness and the devastation and the destruction and the separation from God due to these distractions and idols in my life. So I say, okay, I got to go back to God. I got to move with God. And that's the only reason he became silent for a season in humanity's ears, is because he couldn't find a people that would move and walk with him consistently. In fact, even when David, the Bible describes David, King David in the Old Testament, as a man who was after God's heart. Another depiction of that is, it's a man who touched God's heart. Man, I'd want that epitaph on my tombstone. He was a man that knew how to touch the heart of God. Woo, that would be awesome. I don't want to just say he was a good preacher, or he was a good this, or he was a good singer. I know that they won't say that. He was a good this or that or the other. But if they could say he could touch God's heart. He probably couldn't convince a lot of people, but he could touch God's heart. But even though he was a man that touched God's heart, he did something that God was not really pleased with. And he wanted to build a temple, and God showed up and said, why would you want to build me a temple? I didn't tell you to do that. I've never been a God that needs to be put in a box. I never said I need a house. I never said I need a place. My place is you. My place is your heart. My place is you and your family and your home. I don't want to be put in a box. I don't want to be stagnant and still. I am a moving God. That's why you find throughout the New Testament, or you never find throughout the New Testament, one time. Pastor's not here, but we'll just assume he agrees with this. Okay, all right. But we never see one time where Jesus tells us to build him a building. See, it went quiet. Let me text Pastor. Hold on, see if he's watching. Oh, he said amen. No, I'm kidding. He didn't text me. Now, I got to be careful, and we're going to talk about this over the next couple of weeks. We need a building if we use the building properly. It's good to have a building where we can come and gather together, and we know that there's scripture many multiple times about feeding the flock and feeding the sheep of God and gathering together and forsaking not the assembling together of the saints coming together. And I love. I wouldn't be living for God if it wasn't for what we do in the building, because there's times where my prayer life is not cutting it and my faith is not up to standard, up to par. And there's times that my personal walk with God is wavering, but I go to the house of the Lord and I come in and I sit down on a pew and I'm a bit downtrodden, defeated and discouraged, and I think, oh, I'm not going to worship today, I'm not going to praise today, and all of a sudden, because of your praise, because of my neighbor's praise, the Spirit of the Lord began to inhabit, and all of a sudden I felt that anointing once again, the joy of the Lord come on me again, and I said, thank God God, I've come to the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house. Are you thankful for the house of the Lord? Are you thankful that you have a church that you can come to with liberty, with freedom? You don't have to worry about being bombed. You don't have to worry about being terrorized, but you can come into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and say, I will bless the Lord at all times. Aren't you glad that you can run the aisles, that you can get out of your seat and you can dance before the Lord? Aren't you glad that when there's destruction at home, you can find deliverance in the house? When there's pain in the body, you can find healing in the house. When there's confusion at the job, you can find clarity in the house. Somebody just shout, hey! Yeah. Woo. I'm thankful for the house, but he never said, build me a house. He said, go ye into the world. And I believe, I feel the anointing of the Lord here now. I believe that there is about to be a divine intervention, a divine interruption of the Holy Ghost in power. There's about to be a demonstration unlike we've ever seen it before. And you know where it's going to happen. You know when it's going to happen. It's going to happen when we are prepared for action, prepared for demonstration, prepared for a move of the Holy Ghost. Woo! Watch this. I'm going to read a passage of scripture from 1 Peter in the New Living Translation. And forgive them. It's my fault. I gave it to them so late. They have to, and some translations, they have to go and type it up and stuff. So they may not have this in the NLT. Put it up. Oh, you got some of it. You got verse 8 up. Hey, come on. Give it up for the media team. Peter says, now remember who this is. I'm going to give a little context here and preach to you from the Bible. I feel like that's a good idea today, okay? Peter is the one. I mean, he was one of the 12 disciples who was unlearned and ignorant. He was a fisherman that couldn't catch no fish. And Jesus said, you're perfect for me to turn this world upside down. He betrayed Jesus 3 times, cursed him 3 times. But he becomes the first Pentecostal preacher on the day of Pentecost. And now here he is in his latter days writing a letter so that his words would go beyond his lifetime. And he's speaking to Gentiles, that's you and me. He says, you love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious and inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation. Everybody say salvation. Salvation, salvation of your souls. This salvation. Everybody say this salvation. Salvation. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's for you. Now get this. The prophets of the Old Testament, they got to write about it, but they had to wonder about it. The prophets that we would all like to be maybe some days, and we admire and we should. And there's sometimes we think, man, I wish I could have been like that prophet. And yet they could only write about it. While we get to walk in it. They wrote about it, and they wrote about this salvation that was prepared for you. Verse 11, they wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's sufferings and his great glory afterward. They were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. And now, somebody say now. This gospel, this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is also wonderful that even the angels, everybody say angels. Everybody say prophets. All right, you're with me. Angels are eagerly watching. The King James says the angels desire to look into these things. This NLT, it says they're eagerly watching these things happen. Verse 13. So what do we do with this? Prepare your minds for action and self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Can I just break it down in my little way? Is that okay? We've got Old Testament prophets. Prophets like Elijah, who called fire down from heaven. First of all, he shut up the heavens that there was no rain for 3.5 years. It's about this time of the year, you know, y'all have had rain just about, you know, you got September or October, whenever the rains really start to hit Oregon, it's like you got rain every day, every day, every day. And I mean, after the 108th day of nonstop rain and gray and gloom, and you think, if I could just be like Elijah and say, no rain! He could do that. And then 3.5 years later, he said, okay, we're thirsty, rain! And he called fire down from heaven to prove to the world that his God was the only God. How cool would that be? That's right. When your boss cusses you out and say, fire! Yeah, my wife and I wanted to do that yesterday. In the airport, it's like, you know, all these little bitty things, and I'm not going to get into it, you know, but all the little bitty, just, you know, little restrictive things and the little mandating things and all these little bitty, like, just all these tiny little details. What it does is it gives the people that are, you know, like these teenagers or, you know, young people that are like working, they've never had a job and they never had any sort of, they're like me, the baby in the family. They were always mistreated and overlooked. And then they get a vest that says TSA, you know. And then not only that, you know, now they're given all these extra orders to keep. And now they've got power to stick their chest out like this. And man, we had people, I mean, it was just the craziest stuff. You know, I went up to show them my driver's license when we're going through. And she says, please scoot back, sir. I said, oh, I'm sorry. Like this. She says, not there, there. I said, oh, I'm sorry. And I went right there. Not there, there. And I'm like, what? Oh, no more disease now. We're safe now. And we're like way back here. And I'm just saying, I'm all for being safe. I'm just saying that it was like, it was so crazy, you know? And Levi had his little mask on, but because he's little and the mask they gave him was too big, it's like falling down. And she's yelling at our 4-year-old, and my wife, the mother bear, starting to come out of my wife. And some of y'all know my wife. She don't do that. And when she gets mad, it's really bad. because she don't ever get mad. And she's like, hey, we got it over here, you know. It's like, oh, my goodness. All this, and there's sometimes I just wish I could be like Elijah and be like, fire! Not just to kill them, but to prove, not to kill, I don't want to kill nobody, to prove, hey, I serve the God of gods and the King of kings. And there's sometimes that, man, in certain situations, how cool would it be to go out here, go to downtown Portland and say, and get all these people and say, you know, these street performers, you see street performers, they do little juggling tricks or those robots or something. They just stand there, and, you know, and they get a crowd, you know, it'd be pretty cool to get a crowd, you know, all of a sudden say, hey, watch this, fire. Now you don't have to worry about convincing them. They're like, what? And he's like, well, this is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus Christ. And you need to know there's only one God, one Savior, and his name is Jesus. You need to come to church. It would be a lot easier doing door knocking. Oh, they, you knock the door, they open the door and say, hey, watch this. Fire! Poof! He said, you come to church with me? And they're like, yeah, sure. It'd be cool to be like Elijah, the Old Testament prophet. It'd be cool to be like some of these Old Testament prophets. It'd be cool to be Isaiah. Oh, yeah. He saw the birth of Jesus centuries before it took place. He saw the birth of Jesus and he wrote about it. Whew. It'd be cool to be the prophet Joel. He saw the Holy Ghost fire falling upon all flesh centuries before it took place. What was it like? See, these guys, these women, they were human beings just like us. The Bible even speaks of Elijah and says he was a man like us, subject to the same passions and desires that we have. So he didn't just walk around in some prophetic gift all the time. He was just a normal human being. He hungered. He was upset. He was ticked off sometimes. But he'd be in a prayer meeting and, you know, just like us. Most of his prayers, he probably didn't see nothing or feel nothing or hear nothing. But one day, these prophets, they would be in their prayer room, prayer meeting, or whatever, and all of a sudden, boom, here comes the unction of the Holy Ghost, a prophecy on them, and they'd begin to write, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? And the scripture mentions them, these prophets, and it also mentions angels. And these angels, now, sometimes I think about that too. It'd be pretty cool because they get to be where I want to be. The Bible says that there's angels that stand around the throne in heaven, stand around his throne. Some of them tremble. They put their wings over their faces because his glory is so bright. They shake and they tremble and they fall to their knees. And all they can say, all they can utter is holy, holy, holy. I have to come to church and put up with this or that or the other and try to, some churches we go to, they don't have music like you guys, you know. There's some churches that are so talented. They have like 5 singers up there, 4 musicians, and all 9 of them are playing in different keys at the same time. That's how talented they are. That's not easy to do. And I have to get through that to try to feel something I can't see. And those angels get to be there and see him face to face. But yet Peter says, these prophets that you so admire and would like to be like, they sat there writing about your experience that was for you. The salvation that wasn't for them, but for you. This experience that wasn't for them, but for you. And they wrote about it saying, oh my God, when could this happen? And who is this for? I wish it was for me, but who is this for? And Peter said that the angels, the ones we admire, the ones we'd like to experience what they experience, they come down and they eagerly, they watch us experience this salvation that they can experience. You know why they're so eagerly looking at us? Because what they get to see with their eyes, we get to experience on the inside. They get to feel it on the outside around his throne. But then they come and they say, I know what it's like seeing it with my eyes. But what's it like feeling that same glory on the inside of your spirit? Amen.
And while those angels get to stand around the throne now, they better enjoy it now, because there's coming a day where it won't be the angels standing around the throne. It'll be me and it'll be you. We'll take their place. The ones who were living in sin, the ones who were lost in the world, standing around the foot of the throne, singing, "Holy, holy. I was lost, but holy. I was dead, but holy. I was addicted, but holy." Oh, somebody just practice it right now. You ought to stand in his presence. If you can't stand in his presence now, how can you stand in his presence then? You ought to practice what we're going to do. You ought to prepare yourself for that action right now. Woo.
Hallelujah. Give me 5 minutes. I'm watching the clock. 5 minutes. You can be seated if you feel to. And so Peter explains all of this to try to get us to grasp what's been given to us. And then he gets to verse 13 and says, so with all of that being said, prepare your minds for action. I'm going to go deeper on this on Tuesday night. Come Tuesday night. Cancel whatever you got to cancel. Be here Tuesday night. Because right now I'm talking about the what. But on Tuesday nights of this month, I'm going to talk about the how. We need the what. Without a vision, the people perish. But the vision is not just the what. The vision is the what and the how. Yes. We'll talk about the how on Tuesday nights. But right now, I'm releasing the charge of the Holy Ghost saying, it's time to prepare your minds. Not for attendance. Not for apathy, but for action. Not for distraction. Not for the next season of this or the next episode of that or the next movie of this or the next deal here. But for action. What is it that stops our minds and we have distractions, we have busyness? But I feel that many of us often, like myself, we struggle with the insecurity of what we can and cannot do. The insecurity of what God can do through us. We come to church because we might have just enough faith and belief that maybe I can go to heaven. But some of us stop there, say, I can't do anything in this life. I can just hope to go to heaven in the next life. But that's a lie from the spirit of guilt and condemnation, the spirit of hell, the spirit of this world trying to rob you of the action God has prepared for you. We think about, some of us maybe go a step forward and say, well, I could do this and I could clean the church and that's great. We need people to do that. Well, maybe I can sit on the piano or the drums or the music or this or that, and that's about as far as I can go. And in fact, in some degree, and again, I'll get into more of this later, but we make this platform right here the finish line and think, if I could just get to this platform, then I've done everything I could ever do for God. But really, I believe that it is the heartbeat of God that this platform be the smallest platform in the church. And I'm not talking about volume and size and measurements. I'm talking about impact and influence. That this platform right here is the small. The other platforms that outdo this platform is the platform at the well with a prostitute. The platform of Paul and Silas in prison. The platform of Jesus hanging on a cross. The platform of action with the souls of this world. And so watch this. I read to you from Mark 16, but we're going to go to Matthew 28 real quick. And I said 5 minutes, so here we go. I got to hurry. In Matthew 28:19, does those numbers ring a bell to anybody in Matthew 28:19? And if you hear Matthew 28:19, you might recall the title or the phrase, the great, I heard it, the great, say it loud, the great commission.
Commission. But before we go to the Great Commission, we need to understand the great context. Go to Matthew 28:16. Jesus has already died. He's lived with his disciples for 3.5 years, and now he's died. He's resurrected from the grave, and he's spending these last few minutes with his disciples that he's entrusted to turn the world upside down. And look who we find, 11 disciples. Not 12, 11. Now I'm going to be very careful here. I'm not trying to be funny right now. But there's 11 because one of their brethren has taken his own life because of guilt complex and shame, insecurity and doubt. He stopped himself from action because he said, how could I be used of God when I'm the one who betrayed him? What he didn't realize is that 10 of these other 11 would also betray Jesus. The only one that didn't betray him was John the Beloved. John was the only one there at the cross at Jesus' crucifixion. And even you could argue that he also betrayed Jesus because in the garden they all ran. Judas wasn't the only one that made a mistake. Judas wasn't the only one that had pride issues. They all had pride. They all betrayed Jesus. And so now we have 11. And it's easy because we know the story. We think, well, Judas was a bad guy. Judas was a brother with these men. Imagine your worst enemy in this church. I know y'all don't have any enemies in this church. Imagine the person that is not your favorite person. Can I say it that way? They're your third favorite person. Is that better? Is that more politically correct? Imagine that person taking their own life. And maybe, I don't know, maybe there has been someone from this church that's taken their own life. I hope not. But imagine that. Even your worst enemy, I hear stories of people that take their life and people I don't know, people I've never met, and I hear stories and it grieves me to think that they could come to that. Imagine a person from this church that maybe you didn't even know that well take their own life and what it would do to you. Now imagine Judas, who walked with them for 3 years and saw miracles and walked with Jesus and ate together and slept around campfires together. And now he's gone because he's hung himself. Why? Because he made the same mistake they all made themselves. Imagine that complex in their mind. It says the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Next verse. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Everybody say doubted. Yeah. This is the church Jesus is going to use to turn the world upside down. He's looking at him. He thinks, man, all you dudes betrayed me. You all turned your back on me when it got tough. You saw how powerful I am, yet you left me. And now I'm standing here as a resurrected body, and you're still doubting. And you, Portland Pentecostals, you condemn yourself because in 2022, although you've never seen him, you never walked with him, you never lived with him, you never saw him perform the miracles he did in those days. The Bible says that these men saw Jesus perform so many miracles that not even any books in the world could contain. That's how many miracles they saw. They saw him walk on water. They saw him feed the tens of thousands of people with just a few pieces of food. They saw him raise Lazarus from the grave. And now they see him resurrect himself, and they still doubt. If I was Jesus, I would have looked at them and said, failed. I'll go find someone else. And that's what Satan will do in your spirit. That's what your heart will do in your spirit. He's going to find someone else. Well, let's see what he did when he found these guys still doubting after all they had seen. Verse 18, watch what Jesus... We're about to go through math here. We got an equation. Are you ready? We've got doubting disciples. Now Jesus says, he speaks to them and says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Your doubt plus all my power. And it's not just all my power. It's all of the power. What does that equal? Verse 19. Go ye therefore. That's King James. We don't say go ye anymore. We say you go. So allow me to speak it in today's language. Their doubt plus his power equals you go into all the world. You go and teach all nations. I hope your clocks are slow because I said 5 minutes and I need five more. He says, go ye into all the world, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name, singular, the name of the Father. What is, Father's not a name. He says the name of the Father. Who knows what that name is? Shout it out loud. In the name of the Son, Jesus. In the name of the Holy Ghost, Jesus. Verse 20, watch this. I got a revelation for you. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Watch this. And lo, or in other words, and look, I am with you when?
Always.
Always. For how long? No, it doesn't say forever. Raj, until the end of what? Your life? The world. He knew they wouldn't live until the end of the world. He already prophesied Peter's death. He says, I'll be with you to the end of the world. And he knew, and none of you are going to live until the end of the world. So this word isn't just for you. See, if he had said, I'll be with you until you die, then we'd say, man, that word was for them. But he didn't say that. He said, I'll be with you unto the end of the world. That means after you die, there's going to be another church and another disciple. There's going to be another Simon Peter. There's going to be another. There's going to be a Portland Pentecostals who are living in the end of the world. And they're going to need to know that I am with them always. He said always. He didn't say I'll be with you when you have faith. He didn't say I'll be with you when you're anointed. I'll be with you when you sing. I'll be with you when you shout. I'm with you when you doubt. I'm with you when you fail. I'm with you always. So go ye into all. Mark was there when that story happened. So he wrote a book, called it Mark. They were short of creative titles in those days. Mark! And he gets to this story in Mark chapter 16. And watch what he says. He gives us a little bit more details here. It says in verse 14, afterward, Jesus appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, they were eating, and upbraided. He did not braid their hair. Upbraided does not mean he gave them a braid up high. We don't use that term anymore. Upbraided, what does it mean? To rebuke harshly. In fact, one of the connotations or illustrations of the word to upbraid means to put something between one's teeth to chomp down. He has lived with them. I gave you the whole context. He's died and resurrected. And here he comes. And he says he appears to them. He rebukes them because of their unbelief and hardness of heart. Why? Because they believed not them which had seen him, Jesus, after he was risen. In other words, they heard other people say, he's resurrected. We saw him, and they say, we won't believe your testimony. Because you don't know him like we do. Your experience is inferior to ours. Therefore, your testimony is inferior to ours. We won't believe you. And Jesus put them between his teeth and... And he should have said, see ya, I'll find someone else that will believe. Watch this. He upbraided them because of their unbelief and hardness of heart. So what did he do to them? He didn't say, go home, you're disqualified. He said, go ye into all the world, for I have called you and qualified you and equipped you. Ha, I feel the Holy Ghost. He said, you're not believing. You're doubting. In fact, I've got to spank somebody. I got to rebuke you. I got to chasten you. I got to ground you for just 5 seconds before I give you the direction. And imagine them thinking, oh, I'm so dumb. Why didn't I believe? And he's over here cursing them out, so to speak. He's saying his words, right? He's cursing them, not saying swear words or curse words. He's cursing them, and he's telling, how dare you? How dare you not believe? And they're sitting there thinking, man, why was I so dumb? I should have believed. Okay. And in the back of their mind, they're kind of thinking, he's going to tell me to go home. I'm disqualified. And all of a sudden, he says, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. For he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Watch this. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Watch, everybody stand, verse 19 and 20. I've been preaching 41 minutes. Is that too long for you to have an altar call? Four people are going to come to the altar. Praise God. Soon then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received, and musicians can come. He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Keep it right there for a second. Keep it right there. Verse 9. Well, yeah, there you go. He rebukes them and they're discouraged. Then he charges them and says, go forward for action. Peace. He ascends into heaven. Well, guys, what are we going to do? Sit here and think about all the mistakes we made, how we betrayed him, how maybe if we had stood up, he wouldn't have been killed. What are we going to do? Talk about your mistakes. And what are we going to do? Talk about your insecurities. Well, this is what they did. Verse 20. And they went forth. Whew. Go ahead. What would happen if after every service at the Portland Pentecostals we could say, and they went forth. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. I want you to lift your hands in this place in the Holy Ghost. I feel a charge in the Spirit of God right now. I feel something rising up in somebody that's saying, God, I'm ready right now to be used by your word, your power, the salvation that was prophesied unto me. I'm ready right now, God. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? I'm ready. We got to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got something fast? Okay, praise God. Come on. What, if I'm not praying, you can't pray? Lift up your voice. Don't make me be your cheerleader. You know how to pray. If you don't know how to pray, just lift up your voice and begin to say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yay! Ataraba sataraba. Yada yede yada 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 bakanda ye olobo sotura yasa. Somebody just clap your hands for a moment. Now listen.
I'm coming down to be with you guys, okay? Prepared for action. Peter said, prepare your what? Your mind for action. Yes. Amen. When we prepare our mind for action, our body steps into action. And what I want to see today, okay? I'm just giving you a challenge to do something different, maybe, okay? What I would like to see today is somebody truly prepare your mind for action that produces action in this service right now. Where you get so full of faith or you get so full of desire, you may not have but just an ounce of faith, but you say, God, I do have a lot of desire. I don't know if my faith is enough. And if I had time, I had some other testimony or other scriptures and things where it wasn't until people began to move with God that God gave them the faith needed to overcome the obstacle that was facing them. They had no idea how they were going to do it. The Israelites at the Jordan River were sitting there looking at this raging river that was out of control. The Bible says it was overflowing its banks. And God said, there's the promised land, go get it. And it wasn't until the priest got their feet wet. They didn't see a miracle. They just started stepping, saying, even if it kills me, I will die for a miracle. I will die for action. I will die. I would rather die doing something than to live doing nothing. So they got their feet wet, and as soon as they put their feet in the river, all of a sudden the Bible says that at the city of Adam, that God put up an invisible dam that stopped the flow of the river, and all of a sudden there was dry ground to walk on. See, we have a culture that says, I'm going to wait for instruction, and I'm okay with some of that. I'm going to wait until it's okay to respond. I'm going to wait until somebody else responds. But as soon as you have that mentality, I promise you this, you will not get a miracle. You will not have a demonstration. You will not see the power of God. But when you make up your mind, if everybody else goes out to eat and I'm the only one that steps out, I want to prepare myself for action. I want to step out by faith. I want to move by what I know, what I feel, what I want. I want something from God right now. This is where you have an opportunity to make a connection with the Spirit of God that you have been feeling throughout this service. Throughout the service, you said, my goodness, I feel something. I feel joy. I feel deliverance. I feel a breakthrough. Well, now's the time to make a connection from what you feel to connect with your Spirit. So we're going to take just a couple minutes with no music, and we're going to connect by faith, by desire, a prophetic desire that says, God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be what you've called me to be. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Today, right now, starting this moment, not tomorrow, not at the end of March, right now, right now, right now, right. I've got the desire, you've got the direction, I've got the faith, you've got the answer.
Just a minute.
Now, every eye closed, I just want you to listen for a second. I'm going to help you. I feel this is what I must do. I feel this is what my duty is of God. My mandate of ministry is to help make that connection. For some of you, you don't need this word. You don't need a little help or instruction. But for others, they're thinking, where's the gap? How do I get over this gap? Here's how. With your eyes closed, with hands lifted right now, I want you to not pray, just listen. Everybody just listen. As your eyes are closed, your hands are lifted, just listen. In just a moment, we're going to pray together.
And as you begin to pray, I want you to literally allow the Spirit of God to prepare your mind for action. Action. The laying upon of hands, the gifts of the Spirit, tongues and interpretation, the working of miracles, a word of prophecy, knowledge, wisdom, the gift of faith, the gifts of healing, the office of the fivefold ministry, a prophet, an apostle, a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist. There's many other things. There's many other gifts. There's the gift of hospitality, the gift of love, the gift of friendship. The fruits of the Spirit, I believe, become a gift when you activate them through the power of the Holy Ghost. And you see yourself in this service right now going to someone and praying for them, giving them a word. Have the faith to be wrong. Have the faith to go to somebody and in the humility of the love of God, speak to them and say, I feel the Lord wants me to tell you something. And have the faith to be wrong. Have the faith to go to somebody and say, I'm going to pray for you today and God's going to heal you. And have the faith to be wrong. Have the faith to do it the wrong way. And then as we leave in a moment from this service, we're preparing our minds for action here at this altar, saying, God, as I go, so they went. So they went into their jobs, their homes, the city. Imagine right now as the Holy Ghost begins to move when we pray in a second. Allow the Spirit of God to prepare your mind for the action of your job, your home. God, how can I bring somebody to my house and give them a Bible study? Pray them through to the gift of the Holy Ghost. How can I witness to that friend on the job that seems so discouraged? Lord, how can I reach that person behind the counter at Starbucks? Lord, how can I prepare my mind for action? We could have the best church service of all time, the best sermon of all time, but if we don't act on what we feel and what we know and what we have received, it's all in vain. So the first thing we're going to do, and I'll give you instruction, is we're going to pray for the Holy Ghost to give us that vision of action for this service and beyond this service. I want you to lift your hands one more time and close your eyes. And right now, what I want you to do in unity, I want you to just to begin to lift up your voice and praise to God, praising Him for the preparation of action upon your mind, praising Him for the vision upon your mind, praising Him for allowing your feet to step forth from those shackles, your hands to work out from those chains, for you to step out of that box of comfort and complacency. I want you to prepare your mind for action right now. In just a moment, I'm going to release you to go to somebody and minister to them. When I say go, I want you to act in faith, act in humility. I want you to act in the love of God when I say that word go. But right now, I just want you to let the Holy Spirit prepare your mind, your heart, your hands, your feet for action in the Holy Ghost. That's it right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Prepare my mind, Lord. Give me creative ideas, visions, and dreams. Give me courage to overcome my distraction, my insecurity, my doubt, and unbelief. Lord, right now, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would give me the faith to be wrong, the faith to fail. Let me fail in your hands. Let me fail in the will of God, like Peter failing walking on that water. Let me fail as I come to your presence. Let me fail as I step out of the boat. Let me fail as I move. Let me be wrong in doing instead of being right in nothing, God. Let me do what you have called me to do. Come on, pray that prayer. Lift up your voice. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Let there be a transformational work in your mind.